Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock Video Rental. I am Brandon. With me as always is Caleb. We are continuing on with Awesomely Bad Month. We are going to be talking about a classic in Hard Ticket to Hawaii. But before we get to that, we're going to do like we always do. And Caleb, you been watching anything good?
Well, I've been continuing with Bob's Burgers, so that's been pretty good, pretty entertaining, off the wall in its own different way with its characters, so that's been fun. But outside of that, I didn't really get anything extra this week, not like the week before, so I'm a dud again.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah. But what about you?
Well, we've still been watching Grey's Anatomy. There was one episode where there was like a shooter in the hospital. And that one was pretty entertaining, I would say. Kind of crazy. Watched a few episodes of King of the Hill. Nothing to really talk about there. I watched a 1980s movie called Taps. It's got your boy Tom Cruise in it. And Sean Penn, and I am blanking on the guy's name. He was in Ordinary People, but it's got a lot of famous actors in it. It's about like this, like Naval Academy, something like that. And they're going to like knock it down and build like condominiums or something like that. And the kids at the school like band together and fight to like keep it around. It was really slow. It had some decent parts in it. Timothy Hutton, that was the guy I was thinking of. But I don't know. It was okay. It was worth a one-time watch, I guess. If anything, just to see like all these young actors and like some of their first stuff. I think that was one of Tom Cruise's first movies.
Okay.
But yeah. If you get around to watch it, go for it. If not, you're not really missing a whole heck of a lot. A few TV shows. I watched the latest episode of WWE Most Wanted Treasures. They were going around trying to get treasures that like symbolize the WCW to put on display for like a traveling kind of Hall of Fame thing. So they had some guys that were like in WCW on there. It was pretty interesting. I watched the latest Dark Side of the Ring. It was about Gentleman Chris Adams, who was a British wrestler. He actually trained Stone Cold Steve Austin. But like he had a lot of issues with like alcohol and drugs and stuff. And he ended up being shot to death. So it was kind of an interesting story. But I watched two episodes of Joe Bob's Last Drive-In. I watched Daughters of Darkness. Man, that was a slow movie. It's about vampires, but it was okay, I guess, but I probably never watch it again. And then last Friday, I watched it live because he's back live on Shudder. He's doing like every other week and he's doing one movie. A couple weeks ago, he did Rotten Tale, and I think I might have talked about that. It was pretty bad. I couldn't watch it. I'll just wait for it to pop up on Shudder and I can just like watch the facts that Joe Bob gives. And then the movie he showed this past Friday was The Toxic Avenger, which is a movie I've seen a couple times. It's pretty like ridiculous. Cheesy, corny, goofy humor, and lots of gore. And that one could be considered awesomely bad, I guess. That might have to go on a list or something because I think you'd get some laughs out of it. But it's a trauma movie.
Yeah, I
anybody listening knows what trauma is. That's, you know, what they expect. But they're also doing a remake of it. It's going to have Peter Dinklage in it. I don't know if he's going to be toxic or not. We'll see. But I got to mention this. So Disney Plus just dropped an episode of Bluey that was like a half hour long.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
and
about
if anybody's watched Bluey, they're usually only like 7 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good. It's, you know, it's show for little kids, and there's always like a message and like heartwarming parts to it and everything. So nothing out of the ordinary for that show. And then I've been watching some YouTube stuff. Just this one guy I watched named Todd in the Shadows. And he's like this, he's a music critic. And he goes, well, he's called Todd in the Shadows because you can't see what he looks like. He's just got like a harsh light like behind him. So you just see like a silhouette of him basically. And he's got like some funny takes on stuff. He's got a couple series that he does. He's got Train Records, where he takes like really bad albums made by a different artist and like gives a history of them, why they failed, and if they ever like recovered from it. And then another one he does is One Hit Wonderland, where he takes like famous one hit wonders. He gives you like the history of their career, what came before their hit, during their hit, and then what their follow up was to it and why it didn't succeed, and kind of like what they're doing now. So it's pretty good. Usually the One Hit Wonderland episodes are only like 15 minutes long, something like that. But he's got a whole bunch of them. I watched a few of those. But other than that, not a whole lot. I did watch Hard Ticket to Hawaii, a movie I've seen a few times, so we can talk about it. Hard Ticket to Hawaii. It is from 1987 and is directed by Andy Sedaris. The plot is, in Hawaii, an undercover DEA agent and her civilian friend stumble upon drug trafficking operation and have to enlist the help of all their colleagues slash friends to go after the vicious drug kingpin. I guess that's the plot.
'Cause we're best friends. What's the
Friends to
what?
eternity, loyalty,
There we
honesty.
go. Dang it.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the lyrics.
Oh, the cast, we got Ron Moss as Rowdy Abilene. What a great name. Donna Spear as Donna.
Whoa.
Hope Marie Carlton as Taryn. Harold Diamond as Jade. Rodrigo Aubergeon as Seth Romero, and Cynthia Brimhall as 80. I believe this might be the third time I've watched this. Something like that. I remember hearing about this movie through, I legit just Googled like movies that are so bad they're good. And this was on the top of a list of the list I found. I think it might have been from, oh, Ranker, I think. And yeah, they had this as number one. Like Miami Connection was on there, Deadly Prey was on there, The Room was on there. So it was a murderer's row of awesomely bad movies. And I have to say that this one is really good, entertainment wise and awesomely bad wise. But I still think Miami Connection is the best bad movie ever.
Yeah, I mean, this had some really great stuff for it, but the fact that it was like, I don't know if they were trying to make like a Playboy movie or what, but it was just like a term that we love to use on this podcast is over the top.
Yeah.
So, that kind of was re rather redundant. And I mean, it still has been a little while since the episode 200 and the last time I watched Miami Connection, but this one had like some bright, sparks of hope for Awesomely Bad. And this definitely, so by far, so far for this month, is the, I don't know what you would want to say, like the shining star, the pinnacle of Awesomely Bad month, because this fits the criteria of
Yeah.
awesomely and bad. So.
Yep, I would have totally agree with that. It's funny that you said that it feels like it's a Playboy movie, because both Donna Spear and Hope Marie Carlton are Playboy playmates.
Okay. I'm not too
It
surprised.
definitely feels like a late night Cinemax movie or something at times. And with that comes lots of boob shots. And I went through, because since this is the third time I watched it, and I kind of knew there was a fair amount of topless shots in it, that I kept track. This movie might have the most topless shots that I've ever seen in a movie. It has 26 boobs in
Dang.
it. Yeah. I
I
mean,
mean,
it's mostly just from four women, but yeah.
at what point does it become like, what would that be, X-rated then?
NC-17, probably.
NC-17, yeah.
Yeah, that's all
Because
I could think of.
I don't know what point it was, but I was just like, dang, man, like, how, at what point does this like hit the next rating?
Yeah. It's pretty close to softcore, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, a late night Cinemax movie.
But speaking of the topic of awesomely bad, I had in my notes, I believe that I have found maybe not the, but a common thread between most awesomely bad movies.
Okay.
And that is, it has to involve some sort of element of martial arts.
Dude, that's kind of true.
I mean, so we've got this movie, Miami Connection, Deadly Prey even has martial arts in it, and Ricky O has a lot of martial arts in it. The only really top one that we've had so far for Awesomely Bad that I don't believe has any martial arts is The Room, but it does have football, so you know, it has some form of athletic activity.
I would also throw in there, you haven't seen it yet, but Samurai Cop
Okay.
is another one that's got martial arts in it, and it's ridiculously awesomely bad. That is on the list somewhere, in the schedule somewhere, along with New York Ninja, which is also another martial arts bad movie.
See, exactly.
Yeah, I'd say that's the chemistry there for a great, awesomely bad movie.
Your
Another
chances.
thing is just a ridiculous storyline, and this one, man, it's got it.
Well, okay. Yes and no, because the ridiculous story, the storyline of people stumbling upon a drug, which is funny because it's weed, a drug system in Hawaii is kind of like, hey, you know, realm of reality, you
Yeah.
know, a bunch of things about that, you know, Miami Vice, all stuff about like drugs, and you know, you've got all those cop shows. But then you throw in the element, and I still do not understand why they did this, because you could have easily re I mean, granted, it provided some great content, but the what, radioactive snake, or what was it?
Contaminated snake.
Contaminated snake.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it was really contaminated with. And there's so many times in this movie that I forgot the snake is around.
Right?
Because it's like nothing else. It just happens to be there, I guess. Like the snake shows up and it breaks loose when these guys like bust in and try to beat up the two women. And then it kind of disappears for a while, and then it kills someone, then disappears for a while. And it's like there's no mention of it. They're not really looking for it. It just happens to be there and show up in inopportune times.
Yeah, I had that in my notes where it's just kind of like, hey, should we not be worrying about this like death snake that's just like going around here? But it's just like, no, let's go have a date on the beach and like just spend 15 minutes of focusing on people making out and getting naked on the beach.
Of course. That was kind of what Andy Sedaris was known for. I've seen quite a few of his other movies,
Okay.
and they're all pretty awesomely bad. Acting's always terrible. Donna Spears in a lot of them. Andy Sedaris had a thing for like Playboy Playmates, I guess. Just women with huge boobs and blonde hair.
Yeah, I noticed the blonde hair trend for sure.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of those in there. I think there's a collection. It's like the Andy Sedaris collection on DVD. And I can't remember exactly what it's called. I think it's Bullets, Bombs, and Babes or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another collection of his called Girls, Guns, and G-Strings.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Actually, there's some posters from his other movies in this movie. Malibu Express is one of them, and I've seen part of that. I can't remember if that one does have Donna Spear in it too. It might. Can't remember. I know Sybil Danning's in it, but I think another aspect of this movie that's so great is that it takes itself completely serious. I think that's another thing that has to happen in an awesomely bad movie. And the only one I can think of that we watched that we consider a top one that didn't take itself seriously is Riccio.
Yeah.
Because Riccio was played up for laughs. It was like part comedy as well. And it was just completely and utterly absurd, which is what made it hilarious. But like movies like The Room, Deadly Prey, Miami Connection, and this, they take themselves seriously. And it's
Yep.
inadvertent humor, which is always better than purposely trying to be bad and then just being dumb. Yeah, that's always what makes a great, awesome, bad movie for me.
Totally agree.
It's funny, there's so many things that are inept in this movie. The acting, we said, especially Donna Spear, she's pretty wooden at times. And a couple of the guys too are pretty awkward, especially the one guy, I don't know if he was like a Puerto Rican guy or something like that. He got shot in the face and survived. That guy was pretty horrible. The dialogue is awful. But one thing that isn't awful is the cinematography. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Definitely give them that.
Yeah, there's like scenes when they're in a helicopter or in a plane, and those shots, they had to be expensive.
Yeah, I think it was the plane shots.
Because this is like pre-drone. So like they must have been actually flying next to him in a helicopter or something like that, taking the shots of it. It was pretty amazing. Another thing that's really bad is the ADR, especially at the beginning, and the audio itself is just kind of off.
Yeah. Well, the I had down talking about the beginning that the little intro montage thing with, I think it wasn't it Rowdy and Donna at the very beginning, I think, on the boat.
Yeah, it was either that or Rowdy. I think it was Rowdy and Tara.
Okay.
Taryn, I mean.
All
This
right.
quote unquote civilian friend of Donna.
I couldn't keep track of it because so many of them looked alike.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
The only difference was that Donna was taller and had bigger boobs than Taryn.
The
That was the only way you could tell them apart. They're both terrible actresses.
that's a fact. The intro part was just had me cracking up though, because there was no point to it. There was
Yeah.
no content. It was not crucial. It was just like, hey, let's get this attractive guy and attractive girl to get naked on a boat together.
Yeah, and then I had it as 1 minute and 30 seconds in, they're already like having sexual shots and nudity. It's like, so you know what you're in for, at least. After that though, those opening credits, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, they
How they
give
had like the names of the people on the side of boxes and stuff.
them. I had
And
that as something to give props for.
yeah, that was really cool. That was something you don't see too often. Now it would be all like, digital on the different things, which we've seen before. Somebody's name on the side of a building, on the back of a car, or something like that. Like these were actually, they looked like they're printed out and then taped on the boxes or something,
Yeah.
which was probably cheaply done, but I don't know, it was effective.
Well, yeah. Well, at first when I saw it, I was just like, wow, that's a cheap way to get that done. But then I was like looking at it and I was like, honestly, I'm kind of wondering, that might be a common shipping practice, like to put labels like that on boxes.
Yeah, especially if they're traveling on boats and stuff,
Yeah.
I would
The one thing
think.
that I thought was funny about that part though too was I swear that they filmed that in a Home Depot.
They could have, or back in the 80s, it could have been Builder Square. Who knows? Oh man, it was a store I always hated to go to as a kid. Builder
Yeah.
Square. Went there with my dad quite a few times against my own will. But oh, soon after that too, we get the theme song. That's another thing to mention.
Oh yeah, that's a bonus in the whole soundtrack. I wouldn't give the soundtrack as a whole a great grade, but that theme song was appropriate.
Was something.
Yeah.
Our ticket to Hawaii. You always get stuck in my head when I see this movie, or even think about this movie. There are so many ridiculous scenes in this movie. We've kind of mentioned already some of the lame excuses for nudity. One of them is when Taryn shows up at in Hawaii and finds Donna, and Donna's like running from the beach in a bikini, and then she walks up to a tree that's got like a shower fixed to it, and she's rinsing off, and I'm like, okay, she got out of the ocean, wants to rinse the salt water off, that makes sense. But then she takes her top off while she's talking to her friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, sure, let me just take my top off in front of you, because women do that all the time with their friends.
Yeah. Well, you want to know the one that I had down as being the most ridiculous one?
Hot tub
The hot tub. It was just like the
after a model RC helicopter comes after them or towards them
Yeah.
with two packages, and the doors pop open and they pull the packages out and they take off and get chased.
Yep, a near-death experience. Gee, what should we do? Should we look for help or should we just get in the jacuzzi without our tops on?
Let's get in without them on. Like, let's not
Yeah.
even plan that. And then, oh, let's open up these packages. Oh, they're full of diamonds.
Yeah, they open them in the hot tub too. So it's like if you drop one, it will fall into the hot tub.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I forgot to mention too, is when those guys started coming after him after they took the stuff from the helicopter, that Donna pulls a shuriken out of her boot and throws it at the
Yeah.
guy. Like, this random bimbo has a ninja star to throw at someone.
Yeah, 'cause she's a pro. Her dad was an agent, so she's like amazing.
Oh gosh. And then again, Taryn is only a civilian, but apparently she has training too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We get like some another scene too where like these henchmen show up with pantyhose on their head, but they're like
Oh my.
super sheer and you can see every detail to the
That's,
person's face.
yeah. That
It took me a
guy.
little while to figure out that the one jacked up dude was actually a woman.
Right? The one who was a guy, like it did him no help. Like he was bad at acting and
Yeah.
having it so that you can't see his face, as clearly, like did no favors for him.
Yeah. Dude, it took me a while in this movie, every time I see it even, to figure out who the real bad guy is. Because they don't really introduce him until later on. And because we get so many henchmen,
Yeah.
we get the one guy knows his name is Shades, which cracked me up. Like, the dude's name is Shades. He's like, oh
Yeah.
yeah, that's Shades. He's a special operative or something like that. And they show him he's playing frisbee on the beach. So they have the idea of going in and challenging him to
A
a
frisbee off.
frisbee off. Yeah, not like a dance off. Let's throw the frisbee at each other, and the first one to drop it loses. And one of the dudes, I think it's the main dude,
Yeah, I think it was Rowdy.
Yeah, Rowdy. He's got like a satchel. Indiana Jones carried a satchel. He catches the frisbee from Shades, and then he very obviously switches it with another one. He's like, "Here, catch this," and he throws it. It's got razors on it.
Yeah.
And it like cuts through Shades' hand and it goes into his neck and kills him. Like, how hard would you have to throw that stupid frisbee?
Totally realistic.
Yeah. Oh, the henchmen in this are ridiculous. So we get Shades, who wears mirrored aviators all the time, and he's a blonde-haired guy. There's also this big Hawaiian dude. I don't know if they ever give him a name.
I don't think so.
He's the one who gets the shuriken to the chest. And then there's also this dude that rides a skateboard. He's like not a young dude, he's an older guy. I'd say he's at least in his 40s. Riding on a skateboard, and he's got a blow up doll for some reason.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that so yeah, let's talk about that scene.
Yeah.
Because that one has to be. There are two scenes in here that are definitely the most bizarre. I'm not sure which one is which, but this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, this is
So.
one of the most played scenes from this movie, and it's probably one of the most famous movie parts of the movie. The henchman in the skateboard goes by Rowdy and the other dude.
And
I
he's
don't know. He looked like
skateboarding on.
Terry Silver from Karate Kid 3 with the long ponytail.
That's right. And he's skateboarding on his hands.
Yeah.
So like, first of all, it's like, okay, what's the purpose of that?
Yeah, show
Nothing.
off.
Nothing. No purpose.
Like, we got this dude who knows how to skateboard. Let's put him in a movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Okay, when can we where can we put him in the movie? All right, let's just have him do this here at this point.
And if that wasn't interesting enough, he grabs a blow up doll from the big Hawaiian dude, Yokozuna or whoever that guy is, and he skateboards back over towards the guys, and they start shooting at him. And like the dude, what he jumps, he gets hit by the car.
Yep.
And then while he's in the air, Rowdy shoots him with a freaking bazooka,
Yeah.
and the guy like explodes. And then not only that, for some reason Rowdy goes and turns and then shoots the blow up doll
Yes,
with
which
a bazooka. What was the
I'm
point?
no point. There was no point to any of it. Like, I'm gonna go through a quick sequence because there were a couple steps in there too. So car driving, I'm just going to use east and west. Car driving east, guy on skateboard going west. They
Yeah.
pass each other. So then guy on skateboard jumps in a car with the Hawaiian dude and also goes west and they pass the car again. So they
Yeah.
pass the car. They dump off the guy on the skateboard again in front of the car.
With a
So the
blow up doll.
car is still going in the same direction, and then the skateboard goes back the way it was going. And now he has the blow-up doll and a gun. They pass again. He shoots the Jeep. And
Oh, he
then,
shoots the Terry Silver guy too.
yeah, and he shoots the guy a little bit and he goes past them. They back up, I think it was, or turn around or something, and they hit him and he goes flying up in the air, shoots him with a bazooka, and that whole thing. So, like, they pass the car several times and it's just like, dude. You drove right next to them. You could have shot from your car at their car, but you had to get out and use the skateboard. Like, none of it made sense. Like, why didn't the guy just hide in the ditch with a gun?
Yeah.
Like, it was very specific that he had to be on a skateboard, and then also very specific that at one point he had to have the blow up doll.
Yeah, why the blow up doll is my question.
I don't
Just why?
like it's bringing more attention to him.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't have it, he could have just skated by and they would have been like, oh, some dude's skating by.
Yeah. I don't know if he had like the blow up doll is like an attempt at trying to make it look like a woman was coming towards them.
I
I don't know. I
no
think I'm thinking
idea.
too much about that. I
Yeah, it's
don't think
definitely
there's
one of
any
those.
thought.
It's definitely one of those where, like, I don't really think they thought about it. They just did it, and we're thinking way, way more about it than they did.
Most likely. But yeah, that's pr a pretty amazing scene. Oh, there's also this honeymoon couple that one of the girls picks up to like take them to a resort or something like that. And then they go to the beach and they're taking pictures. Oh, and then by the way, if you guys forgot, because you can forget watching this movie, there's a contaminated snake
Dun
going
dun
around. It
dun.
attacks the couple and kills them.
And the snake looks amazing, by the way.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
just
Incredible.
fantastic.
Oh, and the girls end up stumbling across the bodies, and of course they had a Polaroid camera, and the picture shoots out when the girls get there, and then it develops and they see the snake in the picture. It just happens to happen all at that time.
Yeah, I also love the part where one of them, I don't know which one it was, but they're like, "She's all torn up." And
Yeah.
it was a horrible line delivery.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know if they realize how Polaroid cameras work. That picture is going to develop regardless of being stuck in the shoot there of the camera.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you take the picture, it starts developing. It doesn't wait for someone to pull it out of the shoot and then shake it. Also, shaking does nothing, but everybody always did that. Oh, we also get an awesome love scene between Rowdy and Donna, where Rowdy just like yells the whole time.
It,
What
so
was
what's
that about?
so what was better, that scene or the guy and the girl from the room with the whole chocolate thing? I don't know
I
which one was
prefer
more.
Tommy's. You are my rose. You are my
Oh
rose.
gosh, no.
Oh God. Yeah. Tommy's was more gratuitous. This was just like Donna was kneeling. Guy was sitting in a chair, and Donna's like on her knees, but she's like kissing his chest. It was a bit awkward, to say the
Yes.
least. And then the other people in the other room are just like, oh.
All right, let's turn up the music.
Yeah. So it all kind of leads up to like this final scene where the henchmen show up and they go after Donna and Taryn with knives. And I think it's Taryn that's hiding in a closet, like Laurie Strode. And like this dude's busting through the slats of the door. Maybe she's in a room and it's got like a slatted door. Kind of like the closet in Halloween. And this guy's got like a small pocket knife and he's like stabbing at the slats. I'm like, dude, one of those doors, they're super flimsy. You can just punch them out.
Yeah.
Like he's sitting here like trying to hack at it with a knife and it's taking him forever. I'm like, you could just like punch through it and grab her.
Did you know what that scene totally, oh shoot, actually I don't know the time frame, could have inspired Halloween.
Oh no, Halloween came out before.
Dang it, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, then it was
Halloween came out
inspired
in
by Halloween.
78. This is 87.
Dang it. I totally
So
forgot to look at the day when this came out. I should have known it was the 80s.
Andy Sedaris probably wasn't even aware of Halloween.
Not enough nudity. He didn't watch it.
Yeah. There was only one set of boobs in it, not 26. But and that's the snake also just happens to be there at this time. So after she like kills the dude, breaks through the door, and she goes in the bathroom and she leans up against the toilet and then she f goes to flush it and the toilet explodes and the snake comes out of it. Yeah. And the snake kills. Okay, so the one henchman that was going through the door, he dies like four times. The
Yes.
dude gets I said Homeboy gets four death scenes. Over the top. Fall to the ground ones. It's like he gets stabbed, he gets shot, and then a snake gets him and like eats part of his face.
And then he finally dies.
Yeah, and then Rowdy shows up and he they Donna fires two shots with a pistol at the snake, and the snake just takes it. And then Rowdy comes in with a bazooka and blows him away. Blows its head off.
Explodes.
And I wrote on here, so the bad guy, we it seems like you only find out at the end, is this guy named Mr. Chang. He has nunchucks and samurai swords, but he's an old white dude. They battle with him for a little bit, then he just flies out the window and dies.
Yeah, it the weird thing about it though too is like there's no information about all right. It's awesomely bad. It's totally like outside the realm of reality in some scenarios and situations, but they have no hard evidence against this Chang guy. Like, did that? Like, all they had was his name and information, but there was technically nothing directly tying him to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're just like, oh, we're just going to show up and we're just going to arrest you with no evidence.
Yeah. That's just like characters in the movie have more information than the viewers do, I guess.
Yeah. Or they knew that they didn't have evidence, so they were hoping that he was going to attack them so they could just kill him. So.
Oh my gosh. And that's one of the least clunky things in here. I'd say probably the most clunky thing with this movie is the dialogue. And not even like so much of how it's delivered, it's just how their lines are written. We get like some kind of goofy jokes in this when Taryn and Donna are talking, and Donna's like, "He's got 4 inches." And Taryn's like, 4 inches? That's not that hot." And Donna says, "Yeah, it is. I measured him from the ground up." Like, oh my gosh, that was like a groaner.
Yeah. And there were several by Rowdy. Rowdy's characters had terrible lines.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's also this one dude who's like a sports anchor or something.
Yeah, JJ.
Yeah, that's another dude who was kind of just shoehorned in, and another angle that was shoehorned in because he's like interviewing football players at an all-star game. So I'm assuming it's the Pro Bowl because it used to be held in Hawaii all the time. Back in the day, they're at like some restaurant, and he says to the TV producer, who's also Andy Sedaris, by the way,
Okay.
the TV producer guy is, and he says, they're talking about this girl who came in. He's like, "You go down on her, you're gonna be kissing the back of my head, cause I'll already be there, if you know what I mean." I'm like, dude.
Yeah, the if you know what I mean part, I was just like, oh my gosh.
That part cracked me up because I'm like, okay, really all he had to say, and it would have been a funny line, is you go down on her and you're going to be kissing the back of my head.
Yeah.
That's all you had to say. You didn't have to say, because I'll already be there. And then you go even farther and say, if you know what I mean.
No, please explain it with more details.
Yeah. There's this thing on Joe Bob's Last Drive-In where he says it every single episode, where he'll talk about some kind of weird thing that happens in the movie, and he'll be like, "If you know what I mean, and I think you do." That's what it made me think of. Like, a guy could have went even farther with that. One of the worst line deliveries too. It came from one of the guys. I don't remember who it was now, because there's so many random dudes in this, and they all kind of look the same. Where the snake like shows up, and a guy comes running on there, and he's like, "I can't believe what I just saw. Get out of here." Then he takes off running.
Well, then too, the dude, oh, what's his name? The Rodrigo guy who got shot in the face. When he saw the snake, man, he like freaked out, dude. Like, what was up with that? Like, it wasn't even in his face. It was just like, I don't know, it looked like it was probably about 20 yards away from him. And he just starts freaking out and shooting everything he's got at it.
Yes. Oh, and it's, yeah, it's just kind of out of nowhere. He's just walking around, all of a sudden sees a snake, and he's like, starts shooting at it like crazy. And then takes off running in the opposite direction. Well, I also like the line too about the snake. We got like the guy on the phone. He's like, "Hey, what happened to that snake?" He's like, "Oh, we put it on the plane to go to Hawaii." Like, you fool, that was supposed to go somewhere to be destroyed or something like that. It's like, don't you know it's contaminated? And they're like, "Oh, we didn't know." And then he said something about there not being snakes in Hawaii. There isn't normally a snake in Hawaii. I'm like, you sure about that? I'm sure there's lots of snakes and lizards in Hawaii.
It says Hawaii has no native snakes,
What?
but unfortunately, that doesn't mean it's snake free.
Yeah.
So, thanks to travel, stowaways, and illegal smuggling, snakes have infested Hawaii.
If they take a hard ticket to Hawaii.
And it's illegal to own snakes in Hawaii.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Now let's talk about spiders.
Oh, man. Anything else to add?
Oh, dude, there's just like so much.
It's
Definitely
one of
not
those
gonna.
movies where you could talk about almost every single scene.
Oh yeah.
It's a very slow movie, though, I'll say that.
Well, you kind of just touched on a little bit too about that sports guy. Like
Yeah.
they threw in several things in here that they didn't need to. And okay, so if you took out the sports guy, who is basically useless, like you didn't
Yeah.
need his story in at all. And you took out the snake because, again, I mean, yes, while it provided some entertaining content, like it was few and far between and really didn't add anything. And if you took out 50% of the nudity, like how much time do you think you could save by taking out those three things?
Oh, 20 minutes.
I feel like at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of
So,
filler in this movie.
yeah.
Not surprising.
No, not surprising at all. Oh, and I think the one last thing that I'll say with w before you move on into like facts and trivia and whatnot is when they did what would you call it? Like they decided to swarm the enemy base, stronghold, house, whatever it was. They go driving, like blasting up in a Jeep. And then the one girl is flying like a little fan powered plane.
Ultra light or something, yeah.
Yeah. And she's dropping grenades on it. And it's just like, dude, there's only like three people in that house. Like, you don't need to like go overboard. And basically, like, it's them coming in, guns blazing, and almost nothing's happening.
Yeah, they came in like Dalton and Roadhouse.
Yeah. And then nobody's like, I mean, yes, people eventually do react, but it's not like, oh, there's like a dozen henchmen or anything. It's just like, nope, there's three people.
Yeah. Including a guy that had a big wound on his face.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, that was kind of like the last thing I was gonna mention.
Rock. So trivia. I don't have a whole heck of a lot. I thought there would be more about this movie, to be honest. But Donna Spear admitted in her autobiography that she was intoxicated for most of the shoot
Shocking.
and subsequently embarrassed by her performance. Despite this, she was well liked by Andy Sedaris and his wife, who was the producer, Arlene. They offered her the opportunity to reprise her role in the sequel called Picasso Trigger. Spear partially attributes her or this to her decision to get clean, remaining sober for the duration of the shoot and going on to appear in five more Andy Sedaris movies. Spear also credits the Sedaris' support with her remaining sober, as they had a driver on standby at all times to take her to AA meetings if she felt like she might relapse. So Andy Sedaris funded this movie using the profits from his previous movie, Malibu Express. He said in an interview that he preferred doing it that way. He said, "I can't go through the regular process. I can't do a script, turn it over to a studio, have a reader read it, and then some kid out of college come to me and say that doesn't work for me." He said, "I'm gonna kill the fucker, and I'll be in jail. It serves me well, and it's cheaper to finance my own movies." That's so ridiculous.
No, man.
So it's the first collaboration between the writer slash director Andy Sedaris and the actor Rodrigo Bergeron, who would appear in almost every single one of Andy Sedaris's movies after this. So Cynthia Brimhall, who played 80, this is her film debut. She had a very small role, so yeah. I believe she was the one with the reddish brown hair.
Yeah, she was the one who got captured and whatnot.
Yeah. So the producer, Arlene Sedaris, revealed on a YouTube channel called Popcorn Talk Show, Guilty Movie Pleasures, that the MPAA gave the film an X rating because of the exploded doll scene.
What?
Yeah. I already mentioned that the TV director was Andy Sedaris himself. And the last thing, I don't have any numbers for the budget or the box office.
What?
Yeah, there's nothing online. Nothing at all. But I do have grades from IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think they are?
I think I accidentally saw IMDb was a 5.0.
It is a 5.0, yes.
Okay. Which honestly, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So,
If it didn't have a cult following as one of the best bad movies, it wouldn't be anywhere near that.
right. Critic, man, 20, no, 15%.
20.
20? Really? Oh, man. Rotten Tomato audience, 45.
29.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of surprising.
Yeah.
I don't remember who went first last week. I'm so terrible at remembering that. I think
Yeah.
I did.
I think so too. I'll go ahead and take on this one. Totally not prepared, but I'll go ahead and do it. So it's no, I know we did the comparison we're talking about at the beginning about Awesomely Bad and the different movies and everything. It is no Miami Connection, that is for sure.
Yeah.
But it has some elements that totally easily could have put it in the same conversation category, if you would like, of Miami Connection and movies alike. But
Yeah.
man, I will just have to say that, and I know it's Sedaris' style and everything, but just the Playboy movie attempt and all that just really brought it down for me. I mean, there were plenty of other things that just weren't quite there, but if it was more of your standard movie like Miami Connection, I would have been able to get a more of an appreciation with it. Man, I don't know. I think there's so for me, this is not as quotable as some of the other bad movies. Those just didn't resonate. Now, there were definitely scenes like we talked about, like the exploding snake and the exploding doll that are scenes that you'll just never forget.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really quite break it for me. Man, I think I'm gonna give it a I think I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Okay. I'd say that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. It gets to a point where the nudity just becomes too much. And like I said, I counted 26 boobs in this movie, and that's plenty enough. That might be more than the entire Friday 13th series together.
I know. I was just kind of thinking about that. I wonder if like any of our horror series like even got up to that amount total.
Yeah. This reminds me of, like I said, a late night Cinemax movie, with action thrown in it. You know what it kind of reminds me of is, have you ever seen Boogie Nights?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's a movie they show, Mark Wahlberg's character Dirk Diggler is in, and he's supposed to be like a spy or something like that, and it's got like this really clunky acting and like really bad choreographed fight scenes, and then like all of a sudden he's just like doing it with the girl he's fighting with.
It's
And that's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah, this movie's ridiculous. Out of this Andy Sidaris movies I've seen, I think this is probably the best one just because it's so off the wall. It's a fun movie. It's got some slow parts in it. And like you said, I would say it's a tier under like the great ones that we already mentioned, Miami Connection being one of those, The Room, and Deadly Prey. I ended up falling on a 4 out of 5 because I do enjoy this movie and I always laugh at it. It's got like the good level of cheese to keep you kind of entertained.
Yeah. I was in between a 3.5 and a 4. Like it was on the more positive side of things, but just I don't know. It's one of those where yeah, there were a couple scenes that I really enjoyed, but it's just I don't know if I really see myself watching it ever really again because it didn't have enough of that to draw me back
Yeah, I get
personally,
it.
but
Oh man. So I'm kind of surprised, like it's been going fast. Next week we're going to be wrapping up Awesomely Bad Month. We're going to be doing our second Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And I didn't even plan that. We're going to be covering Batman and Robin, which is a movie I have not seen since I caught it on cable one time. I didn't see this one in the theater. I know I saw what's the one before that? Batman Forever. Yeah, I saw that. I really don't think I saw Batman and Robin in the theater, but it's quite possible. But yeah, it'll be
I
interesting to go back
remember,
and watch that.
wasn't it Taco Bell that had the specials? Or was it a different fast food place that did
It
the.
was either McDonald's or Burger King, I think.
Oh, okay. Maybe it wasn't Taco Bell.
I think, if I can remember right. Yeah. I don't know. Someone listening might know.
Yeah.
But if you guys are liking the show, leave us a review. Share it around. Like, follow us on social media. We're on all the platforms, pretty much. I put some new stuff up on TikTok. It was things that were on YouTube before, but if you guys want to go in there and check that out, go for it. And come by next week. We're going to be talking about Batman and Robin. Probably might be the worst Batman movie. I'm going to go on a limb and say it probably is the worst Batman movie, but we'll discuss that next week. But until then, as always, be kind and rewind.